I love you guys. And I just want to start off by saying, did you like the Fail Epic Fail game? Yeah? No? Still a little too childish for you guys? No? That's all right. We're going to talk about that. So I've got a fail in my life. Maybe you could call it an epic fail. I don't want to tell you about the high schoolers or middle schoolers have probably heard it before, so you guys just sleep during this part. But don't really. So I was at Southland. It was about, I worked at Southland a little while ago. This was probably a few months after I'd first gotten there. And they were going to tell me to do some stuff around there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to help out. I'm going to move some stuff. So they had these little carts. They look like little trucks that you drive around Southland all the time. It's a big place. It's like a stinking airport. So they give you these little, almost, it's like a little cart, but it's got a little bed on the back. And so you drive it around. So they're like, I needed to move some stuff. So they gave me a little cart truck. And so I start driving it around, drive it up to where I need to, skirt, and I put my stuff in it, and I start in this hallway to back up. Now, at Southland, don't know if you've been there or not, but there's these giant, beautiful glass windows, and they line the hallways. Yeah, you know where it's going. And they line the hallways of this place. And so I just very calmly, because in my life, for some reason, whenever I do things, God has given me the gift to break things. And so whenever something happens, I'm usually the one to break it. And so I start to back up in this little cart, if you will. And so they forgot to tell me that there was no brakes on this dumb thing. Like, they're there, but they don't really exist. So I start to hit the brakes, and nothing happens. I mean, maybe a little bit of slowing down. And in my mind, naturally, you would think, well, just get out and stop it. It's a tiny cart. No, I hit the gas again because I'm confused. And so I just kind of tap it again. And I roll back, and all you hear is this, sounded like a bomb went off. And this, literally, I mean, it was thousands of dollar window just comes tumbling to the ground. And I look around, and the guy that I work with, his name's Nate, he walks around the corner. He just goes, oh! And I'm like, I know, that's not okay. And so I'm assuming I'm going to get fired at this place that I just started, and I started to cry. I'm an emotional guy. And so I started to cry almost, and basically it was one of those moments where I failed. It was pretty much in my life an epic fail. You guys, I mean, on a deeper level, do you guys have fails or epic fails in your life? I know. Maybe you crashed a window. Maybe you ran your car into a lake. I don't know. One of the best stories that I know of Jesus is where the disciples had kind of one of those fail moments, and Jesus called them out on it. It was Jesus was teaching, preaching, doing this Jesus thing, and these little kids started running up to him. And they said, Jesus, Jesus. They were so excited. And the disciples, they went up to him and they shooed him over. They said, get out of here. You're too young for this. You don't understand. You don't know. You won't get it. He's a very important teacher. He's a very important prophet. You won't understand what's going on. And Jesus looks at him and he says, no, bring him back. Bring him back. You guys, you disciples, you just, oh, it would be so frustrating. You just don't get it sometimes, do you? So until you look at my kingdom through the eyes of these little kids, you won't get it. You won't understand it. And that's what I want to tackle this morning, is just getting back to that simplicity with Christ. And Matthew 11, he even says, come to me, all who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. Some of us are yearning for that rest. But we can't get to that point of simplicity right now. Everything's too complicated. That's what I want to tackle this morning. I'm going to give you two different portraits of Jesus. And we're just going to walk through them together, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit along the way. I'm going to pray before we get started. Father, thank you so much for every single person in here. You have uniquely wired them. You uniquely designed them for a specific purpose in life, Father. And I pray that you help each one of us find it. Speak to us today, be it up here on stage or in the rows right there, Father. I pray that each one of these people in here would realize the conversations that they can have with the person sitting next to them could be just as impactful as anything that happens today. So, Father, I pray for our hearts. I pray for our minds. And I pray that you would just open both of those up to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall on this room. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I said I'm going to give you two portraits. The first one we're going to look at is just a story Jesus is telling. So if you got your Bible with you or a Bible app or something like that, that's what Doc says, right? Then I said, here's something I said in the first service. I said, do you buy that? And I didn't even mean to. And I tried to take it back. And I said, wait, I mean, believe that? I don't. So I may act like him every now and again, which is not bad. He's a good guy. So, Doc, notice that I build you up here. I don't call you Manti Te'o. But, whatever. We're going to start off in Luke 15. So if you guys have a Bible, flip to Luke 15. It's a story that you may or may not have heard a lot in your life. Many different times. It's a story that Jesus is telling to people. And basically, Jesus is talking to people because they ask him the question, Jesus, why do you speak to all these sinners? Why do you talk to all these knuckleheads, these guys that can't get it, these guys that screw up? What are you doing? And this is one of the stories Jesus told to explain that. And so it's about this dad and his two sons. You guys have probably heard a lot of it. If you hadn't, I'm going to give you some of it. I'm not going to walk over every single verse in this story, so I want you guys to make sure afterwards, Luke 15, go back and read both of these stories I'm going to tell you today. So we're going to dive into it. So it's the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful, right? And so there's this dad and these two sons. There's a younger son and an older son. The younger son comes up to dad and he basically says, in not so many words, I wish you were dead, give me my money. And so the dad, being a wonderful good man, which I love you, dad, but I don't know if I came up and did that to him that he'd be like, okay, here's your check, son. This is wonderful. Take it and do what you wish. I feel like he might try to hurt me, and that's understandable because I just wished him dead. But this son comes up, the younger son comes up to his dad. He says, I'm smarter than you. I know more than you. I want my money. I want my inheritance, and I want to be able to go do my own thing. So the dad splits up everything. The older son's obviously ticked off. The dad splits up everything, gives him his check. He goes off to Las Vegas and does who knows what. I want you to know that Doc and them are going to Las Vegas soon, and so you guys watch out. It's crazy out there. But so he's going to go to Las Vegas. He's going to do who knows what. He's going to go to his favorite clubs. He's going to order drinks. He hangs out with all these girls, and he does basically what you would do in that situation and he just blows all of his money, right? Whew. See, he blows it all away, like just like that. It's a spirit moving up here. It's crazy. But He blows all of his money on all this crazy living, obviously, all this sin, and he gets wrapped up. And eventually, you guys know the story, a few months later, maybe a year max, all of his money's gone, he has nowhere to live, and he pretty much has nothing, right? And so the son looks in the want ads, tries to find a place to work, economy's rough, he eventually finds this farmer who has a bunch of pigs, and he will allow him to come and watch and take care of the pigs. Now, the one stipulation in this whole story is that he is not allowed to eat the slop that the pigs eat. He's not allowed to eat it. But at this point in the son's life, at this moment, he's so hungry, he's so famished, he is so just wanting a good meal that he's looking at this junk and thinking, man, that looks real good. I kind of want to eat that. And I just had this question in my head. Have you guys ever been at that point before? Jesus has something for you. He has an amazing place for you, but you've kind of just decided to go your own way. And eventually, I don't know what the circumstances are. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's what's on your computer screen. Maybe it is the places you've been or the places you continue to go or the relationships you continue to have. But I don't know what's gotten you to that place. But have you guys ever been in that place, that low place, where you just feel like you have no one and nowhere to turn? Well, this son was in that place. This young son was in that place. And so he decided, you know what? I know my dad. I can probably go back. And even his servants, the ones that he pays to live here, even his servants get a better meal and a better place to live and better clothing than I have right now. So I'm just going to go back and I'm going to fess up. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I did it wrong. And maybe he'll give me a job. So his son, you know, he dusts himself off. He gets his speech ready to go back to his dad. A pretty pathetic one at that, I would say. And so he gets his speech ready and he starts saying, you know, I know, Dad, that I'm not worthy to come back. Which is ridiculous in itself because, you know, obviously, he was never a son because of worth. I think a lot of us get that mixed up in our heads sometimes. We think that we're here because of what we've done, or God wants to know us and love us because of what we've done. And you're not a son and a daughter because of worth. Your son and a daughter because of birth. You can't do it. There's no amount of things or places you could go that would make you worthy. It's because of who you are that he loves you and he wants to know you. And so the son gets his speech ready and he decides he's going to head back. Right? So he's walking down the road and he's just probably sauntering like this with his head down. Because you know what? I think a lot of reasons why we don't come running back to Jesus a lot of the time The reason we don't run back to him like a little kid, you know when a little kid has their wish list and they see Santa and they just run up to him and they're like, Santa, this is great, I'm going to get all these... Ah! And they just love him, right? That's just the picture that comes into my head. You may have something else. But when he just runs up to him with that excitement and that passion, the reason we don't come running back to Jesus like that, shame. It's shame. Because this young guy, he's smart. He's logical, right? He knows that there's no way he can be a son again. He knows that there's no way that God can just, or his dad can just accept him back in. There's no way that he can walk back in here and things can go back to normal because he's a logical kid, right? I think a lot of us are in that same place in life. And we're walking around every day with shame. Shame for the things we're doing. Shame for the places we've been. Shame for the thoughts that go through our head each day. And so the son walks back up and he starts walking and he looks off in the distance. His dad is running at him in a dead sprint, just pew, right at him. And almost as if his dad had been sitting in the window, staring out, just waiting desperately for him to come back. And so his dad runs out, picks him up, doesn't care about getting dirty or nasty or messy, picks him up, holds him, gives him a hug. The son's like, okay, I prepared this, I went over this, these are my lines. And he starts to say his speech, right? And the dad just cuts him off. No, I don't care. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what it is that you want to say. You're my son, and you've come back home. You're my son, and you've come back home. A lot of us, we just want to see these arms right here. That's all we want. But we think that when we come back, we're going to hear all those, I know who you are. I know what you did. You can't be the same. You can't be the person that you once were. You're too broken. You're too messed up. You're too scarred. You're too ugly. But guys, this kid that had all those same thoughts in his head came back to this. Came back to open arms. And so he runs up. The dad, open arms, obviously hugs him, gives him a kiss. All right, God, puts clothes on him, does all that fun stuff, jewelry, kills the baby calf. It's awesome. They're having a party. So eventually, they actually literally have a dance party. It says it in Scripture. They have a dance party. So this kid comes back, maybe 1 hour, maybe two. We'll give him that. By that time, they're over here. This is a dance party, by the way. They're over here just, and they're like dancing for some reason. I don't know why. I'm an awful dancer. But they're out here just dancing away on the stage. Dancing away on the stage. And it says in Scripture, oh, this part's funny. Not really funny because I'd be ticked off too. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother came home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And this is the point in the story, right, where I'm going to look at you, I'm going to say, the older brother needed mercy. The older brother needed to care, right? Because that's what we preach all the time. And that's a different sermon in itself. But to be honest, if you want a little transparency here, the older son is literally the only logical person in the entire scenario that Jesus is talking about. The only one who logically gets it. Well, he screwed up. He can't come back, right? He screwed up. He can't come back. Well, yeah, you're right, I guess. Good logic says that. But guess what? This is the part of the story that I love, because it proves to us and shows me that loving Jesus, walking through life with him, is nothing more than very, very scandalous. It's very scandalous. It's not logical. It's not normal. They literally walked this son in like it was a parade, like he was the Cats coming back from the national championship. Whoop, whoop. And like he's some sort of athletic hero, like he just won some, I don't know what he did, but he's walking back in with this big parade like, yeah, guess what he is? He's a screw-up. That's literally all he is. He's a screw-up. And yet this dad opens up his arms and invites him back in like he had won some sort of championship. Guys, a lot of us today, man, we're that younger son. A lot of us just, man, when we come home, we're so ashamed and so afraid. But guess what? God just wants us to dance. Because I have a question for you. What is this guy dancing about? What's that younger son dancing about? His life? there's nothing to dance about. His financial investments, certainly nothing to dance about. His friends didn't seem to be too good friends. What's this guy dancing about? You know what? He's dancing because his father loves him. He's dancing because dad still loves him. And a lot of us, we quit dancing. We just quit dancing. We decided that, you know what? We're too broken. We can't dance. We come in here and we're like, we've got nothing to dance about. And God says, no. I know exactly what you look like. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly what's going on in your mind. Come in here. Let's dance. Some of you need to dance today. And the only reason you can dance is because God still loves you. You're dirty. You're broken, just like this younger son. But God says, come in here and dance with me. I want to love you. There's the other side of that with that older son. Some of us, now I know I've been here with you. I understand this one. Some of us just, you know what? We don't want to dance. We want to look at him and be like, well, you don't have a lot to dance about. Right? Your life isn't worthy of dancing. Where's the repentance? Right? I want to see some different fruits. But to be honest, what you guys need to do is you just need to walk over that dance floor, close your eyes, and just scoot on it. And just start dancing. Even if you don't want to, just start dancing. Right? Because God loves you too. He loves that person just as much. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on. Man, we gotta, don't take this the wrong way, we gotta dance dirty sometimes. Yeah, ow, that's right. The next story I want to talk to you about, man, it's ow, that was great. I love it. It makes me happy. You guys laugh. I love it. Okay, the next story we're going to talk about is in Matthew. Matthew 14. And it's a story about Peter. And I know, whenever bad stuff happens in the Bible, you always bring up Peter, right? He always screws up. I feel bad for the guy. It's like, oh, we got to talk about a screw-up. No, talk about Peter. That's great. So this story right here, you guys know it most of the way. If you don't, I'm going to give you some background and read it afterwards. I would love for you to do that. But it's in Matthew 14, and it's when basically Jesus has taken the disciples. He has sent them out, and he's going over to pray. They're on a boat. They're out here in the middle of the lake, and Jesus is over here doing his Jesus thing, praying. So they are on the boat, and they look out off in the distance, and they think they see a ghost. They think they see a ghost. It's like Patrick Swayze, right? It's a joke. You guys got it? No? He's the ghost? No. Okay, cool. Tough crap. All right. So he looks out, and he sees a ghost. And they're like, what in the world is that? Jesus yells back, don't be afraid. Wow, of course I'm going to be afraid. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and there's a ghost on the water. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid. And so Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, call me out. I would love to come out and walk with you on the water. This is going to be pretty cool. And so Jesus says, like Jesus does, come on. Come on. You can do it. Let's go. And so Peter, now that was the dance floor. Now this is the water over here. So, yeah, I know. I hope I can. Thank you. So the boat's right here, and he gets ready, touches his toe, realizes it's a little solid, steps out, and the first human outside of God, and by outside of God, I mean he's in a different category. So the first human to ever walk on water starts walking on water. So Peter's doing his thing, you know, you guys know the story. And he's walking, feeling a little cocky, looks away from Jesus and begins to sink. Right? And there's all kinds of images you could pull into this. Oh, he looked away, his sin consumed him and all stuff. Okay, I'm gonna not worry about that part as much as the next part. But, so Peter begins to sink. Right? Jesus being Jesus, doing his Jesus thing, he reaches out, grabs his hand, pulls him up. Jesus helps Peter onto the boat. He looks at him in the eyes and he says, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And this is the part of the story where, in my mind, you know, have you ever like read a scripture and you kind of anticipate what you think is going to happen next? I do that all the time. And I'm like, okay. So, you know what's going to happen next is Peter's going to hop up in the boat and all his friends are going to get around him. And they're going to be like, man, that was wild, right? You know, that was crazy. He almost died. That's crazy. Like, and they're going to console him because he's sad, right? Because he almost drowned. Because, to be honest, in life, it's not the way you start, it's the way you finish. And he started walking on water, but he almost drowned at the end. So, that's not good. So I'm assuming he would get back in this boat, and the people, like, they would come over, Bartholomew, that's great. He would come over, and he'd just be like, man, you need a t-shirt or something? You're a little wet. And he'd just, somebody give Peter a blanket. And so they would help him out. And so they'd help Peter, but that's not what happens at all. Because they come over, and to be honest, they don't really care about Peter at all. And to be honest, I had in my mind Peter over here just in the corner of the boat just shivering, like, I failed. And everybody over here, Scripture says, you know what, that they were worshiping. So Peter's over there shivering in the corner of the boat, and the rest of them are just like, how great is our God? And Peter's just scared over here by himself. That's the image I get in my head, right? But guess what? Peter doesn't care either. He's soaking wet. He's just failed epically Jesus, and yet he doesn't care. Peter joins right in and starts worshiping all the same. Guys, a lot of us, we came in here soaked today. We came in here soaked today. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be what, again, what's on your computer screen. Who you've been talking to. Facebook. Man, it could have been the way you talked to your family this morning. Could have been who you were talking to. Could have been the way you acted at work. Anger, frustration. Maybe you just walked out and left. Maybe you're a single mom and you don't know how to do anything. You just feel like you're screwing everything up. Guys, every single one of us today walked in here soaked. But you know what we can do? We can take a lesson from Peter. We can worship when we're wet. We can worship when we're soaked. We have to. See, Peter realized it wasn't about him. Peter realized it wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. And as soon as he hopped back in that boat, as soon as he hopped back in, scared, frustrated, confused, sad, alone, he started worshiping. And guys, a lot of us today, we need to learn how to worship wet. We need to learn how to worship Jesus. Guys, to be honest, in the church, we don't really like when wet people come to Jesus. That's just blatantly honest. We really don't like it. I mean, if you've been wet your whole life, right? You've just been messed up your whole life, then we're a little more like, come on, let's go. Yeah, I love you. Get over here. Give me a hug. I love you. But to be honest, when people that come into the church and get dry, you know what I'm talking about? They like memorize half a book and they get real sanctified and everything. When they come in here and they're dry, and then you know what? They get wet. That's when we look at them and we're like, I'm not going to help you dry off. You just sit over and think about what you did. Don't worry about it. Right? Because we haven't learned how to worship wet. We don't know how to dance. And we don't know how to worship when we're wet. Guys, I'm here to tell you this morning, every single one of us fits into one of these scenarios, if not both. Every single one of us needs to look at Jesus with simplicity. Now, Steve's going to come back out here. I'm going to call him back out. He's going to start playing. I need somebody to play behind me to make it extra spiritual. That's what happens. Watch. It's going to happen. I mean, he's going to start playing, and you guys are going to be like, oh, see? You're welcome. Guys, a lot of us forgot how to dance. I hate that. I hate that. Because we come in here and our kids see nothing but grumpy, upset Christians that don't know how to even worship God. And they watch and it translates over to them. Guys, I want you to return to that simplicity. Accept the grace of God that He's given to every single one of you that has accepted Him. And return back to that simplicity that is knowing Jesus. Because God called us not to live a childish life, but to have a childlike faith. And sometimes that means dancing when there ain't nothing to dance about. And that means worship and soaked. You're going to have to talk to people out there soaked. You're going to have to talk to people at work soaked. And Jesus doesn't want you when you're dry. He wants you when you're dry, but He doesn't want you only when you're dry. Jesus wants you exactly where you are, exactly who you are right now. And He wants to love you. He wants to love every part of you. Guys, we're going to have a moment of invitation here in a second. And man, if God's tugging at your heart, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Some of you, you just need to dance. I'm just being blatantly honest. Some of you just need to dance. You've lost the simplicity of loving Jesus. It's too logical. I can't. I'm so messed up. If He only knew what was in my head, if He only knew what my thoughts were. Dance when you're dirty. Worship wet. Let's stand and worship.